Plenty of attention being paid to events connected, at least in some way, to the White House. But there are several concerns beyond Washington, D.C. as well. This week, Roby Brock, with our partner Talk Business and Politics, sat down with Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, a Republican in his first term in the Senate, but already with a high profile when it comes to opinions about international affairs. Roby asked Senator Cotton about North Korea, Russia, and first, the unfolding approach by the United States to Iran regarding nuclear capabilities. Roby asked the senator if the United States, after abandoning an internationally created deal with Iran, is going at it alone when it comes to trying to neutralize Iran's nuclear weapons program.
We're not going it alone. We have a lot of allies who support the U.S. policy. Israel, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, even in Europe, a lot of the smaller countries in Europe have said to me privately, as I know they've said to administration officials privately, they fully support U.S. policy here. Obviously, we have some disagreement with countries like Germany and France, but even in those countries, their companies are now accepting the U.S. policy as well. Just last week, Daimler Chrysler said that they were going to pull out of Iran. Every company in the world would much sooner have access to the United States' $20 trillion market than to Iran's $400 billion market. That's like choosing between the United States and choosing between Maryland's economy. So what's our policy? It's to stop Iran's behavior throughout the region, that is supporting terrorism, attacking Israel, undermining our allies, supporting civil wars and insurgencies, and to stop them from getting a nuclear weapon. The terrible Iran deal didn't do any of those things. It put them on the path to get a nuclear weapon, and it put all those other issues to the side. That's why we have a new and much tougher approach.
Will there be more legislation coming in that respect, or do you think that the president can do this from a policy?
So the president has a lot of the authority under previous legislation that Congress has passed to kind of try to counteract Iran's malign behavior. What had happened in the Iran nuclear deal is that President Obama waived many of those sanctions. So President Trump is simply reinstating many of these sanctions. So just this past week, for instance, prohibiting the sale of aircraft to Iran that they would then use to transport shock troops into Syria right on Israel's border, or preventing the transaction with banks or in gold and silver or other precious metals with Iran. Later this year, I expect to see sanctions imposed on Iranian oil as well. All of this is designed to put more pressure on Iran to try to change their behavior. And you start to see it in Iran as well. Their currency is suffering terrible inflation. People can't buy basic foodstuffs. They're protesting the regime in the streets. This is the policy the United States is pursuing to try to change the behavior of the Ayatollahs in Tehran.
We can expect some gas prices to go up if that pressure on the oil is there too, correct?
So Saudi Arabia is the big swing producer in the Middle East. I think because they are so threatened by Iran, they want to make sure that they are trying to replace that oil coming offline in Iran. But also here in the United States, you know, in West Texas, mm-hmm. The Permian Basin is one of the largest oil fields now producing in the world. Likewise, up in North Dakota, even right here in Arkansas, we're producing. Increasingly, American oil is becoming the critical swing factor in global oil markets. So I'm hopeful that you actually won't see that much of a change in domestic prices come this fall when we take Iranian oil off the market.
I'll check them at the pump. We'll see. North Korea sending remains of soldiers, U.S. soldiers, back to America, a good first step. But reports are that their nuclear efforts have not stopped. The president has said he's on no time frame, no time limit, no rush to do this. Should there be a time limit? You're a negotiator. You understand these things. You got to put something in place, don't you?
So first off, we're glad that those remains, many of which are believed to be American soldiers, some of which may be other nation soldiers, like South Korea or Australia, what have you, are coming back home. It'll take many months, maybe years, to identify them, but I think that shows America's commitment to always bring our soldiers back home, no matter where they've fallen or how long it's been. But second, you have to understand the situation that we faced. You know, North Korea already had developed nuclear weapons. They had developed missiles that were capable of striking us here in Arkansas or anywhere else in the United States. So there's really no change in the status quo. What change there has been is that there's been some retrenchment in their missile program. They obviously have returned these remains, and we're having at least some negotiations. I don't think these negotiations are going to go on forever. I don't think they should go on forever. I think we'll have a sense of whether Kim Jong-un is serious about the commitments that he's made in the Singapore summit in probably 3 to 6 months or so.
All right, 3 to 6 months. The president also met in Helsinki. It's still a topic of conversation with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Had a private 2-hour meeting. Do you know what went on in that meeting? No one else seems to know what went on in that meeting. What's your understanding?
The president has not debriefed me on his private conversation with any of his head of state counterparts. No, heads of state deal with each other directly. But here's what I do know. The president has said before and after that Russia meddled in our elections, and Russia has faced serious penalties for their actions, not just meddling in our elections from closing diplomatic facilities and kicking out Russian spies that were using those facilities. Just this last week, we imposed new sanctions on Russia for using a chemical agent to murder or attempt to murder Russian dissidents in Great Britain. We've sent defensive weapons to Ukraine to try to counteract Russia's invasion of eastern Ukraine. We've imposed sanctions on Vladimir Putin's oligarchs. These are all much tougher Russia policies than not just President Obama pursued, but President Bush or President Clinton before him. That's the right approach to take. We have a bad relationship with Russia for one reason and only one reason, because Vladimir Putin is an adversary of the United States.
Yet you still see the president treating him in a pretty chummy, friendly fashion here. Why is that? That's a disconnect to me from what Congress is doing and what the president is doing.
Well, he has that relationship as well with Xi Jinping, and China is an adversary of the United States. What he knows that any head of state, even when you're dealing with an adversary, has to have an open channel of communication. That's why presidents of both parties throughout the Cold War had the hotline to the Soviet premier. They'd meet in summits no matter how tense relationships were. There are some common interests that we have with Russia, of course, whether it's trying to counteract terrorism in the Middle East and Central Asia. Ultimately, those measures usually come up empty because Vladimir Putin and senior Russian bureaucrats know that they can usually wait out the United States and try to get a better deal. That's why it's important that we continue to put pressure on Russia anytime it engages in actions that are contrary to our interests. But having an open line of communication to a fellow head of state is something that the president has to do just as a matter of course to represent U.S. interests and try to keep us safe.
You're satisfied that President Trump is acting in concert with congressional action and congressional intent on things, because it does not seem that way from this public person's perception.
No, I mean, our policy, and it's a policy that's supported by both the administration and Congress, is to check Russian aggression. That's why we sent those anti-tank missiles to Ukraine. That's why we closed their diplomatic facilities here in the United States and kicked out their spies. That's one reason why we're trying to produce more oil and gas from the United States. I mean, sanctions are great, and we should impose sanctions on Russian oligarchs who are undermining the United States. There's no sanction that's as bad as Vladimir Putin as $40 a gallon or $40 a barrel gas and oil. So there's lots of actions that we're taking together, the administration and Congress, tools that Congress passed just last year, for instance, that the administration is implementing to try to change Russian behavior. Now, I'm skeptical that Russian behavior is going to change because Vladimir Putin is the leader of Russia.
So what's it going to take to change it?
What's
it going to take?
So it continues to put a sense of boundaries on Vladimir Putin's behavior. I mean, Vladimir Putin invaded Crimea in 2014. He got no pushback. What happened a few months later, he invaded eastern Ukraine. There, the United States and European countries took some, I would say, mild measures that at least froze that conflict in place. He didn't push any further into Ukraine, but at least it froze the conflict in place. We could have sent those anti-tank missiles 3 years ago. Almost every Republican and Democrat on the armed services together urged the Obama administration to do so. They didn't. We could have taken tougher actions in November and December of 2016 after the election when the intelligence community concluded that Russia had meddled in our election. We didn't, because President Obama had senior advisors who were worried about the Russian response, mm-hmm. and he accepted their judgment. Over the last 18 months, we've gotten much tougher on Russia because of these actions that are designed to undermine our interests.
Senator Tom Cotton spoke with Roby Brock from our partner Talk Business and Politics earlier this week. There's more from the conversation, including discussion of the midterm elections this fall, at talkbusiness.net.